invite you tonight to take your Bible and open with me to the book of Nehemiah. And the first chapter, Nehemiah chapter 1, this evening. Last week we took the time to lay the foundation for our series on this book and the principles that we find recorded in the book of Nehemiah. At first glance, we can come to understand that Nehemiah was greatly used of the Lord to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. We know that the walls were first destroyed as part of God's judgment upon the kingdom of Judah because of their sin of idolatry. God used the world empire of Babylon under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar to bring judgment, which included the destruction of the Temple of Solomon, along with the breaking down of the city walls of Jerusalem, leaving that city of God to lie waste and almost uninhabitable for years. Yet as God had promised the prophet Daniel, there would soon return a remnant of people to come and begin again to live as a remnant in that wonderful city, that place of God. That prophecy was first fulfilled when Cyrus, the first king of the Medes and Persians, determines to send some of the Jews back to rebuild the temple, to live in the land. He believed that although their country had been conquered, that they were a people subservient to him, that there was still the need for them to identify with their cultures and identify with their religion. So under Zerubbabel, he was sent back to rebuild the temple, and a wave of Jews went to live there in Jerusalem. We know that an attempt was made to rebuild the walls, but due to political unrest, the project was stopped and the walls remained in ruin. It's now been 150 years since the destruction of the walls of Jerusalem, and God now begins to move in the heart of Nehemiah to rebuild those walls for those who inhabit that wonderful city of God. For many, the truth that the walls were rebuilt is all that they will see as they come to the study of the book of Nehemiah. It really is a remarkable feat that he would be able to walk into that city and in 52 days, with a remnant of people that were there in the midst of opposition and struggles and problems, be able to reconstruct and rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem. That city was now protected. Its inhabitants are safe from physical danger. Yet as we pointed out last week, there is more to the story in the book of Nehemiah than what we see that took place just in the rebuilding of those walls. You and I understand that God determined through the Jewish people to bless all the nations of the earth. In fact, that was part of the first Abrahamic covenant that God would make, that through Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Through him would come the Messiah. Through him would come the Savior of all the world. The center of his activities, his fulfillments of God's promises, would all come through that city of Jerusalem. And so as we come to the book of Nehemiah, and as we begin to consider the things that Nehemiah does, we understand that his work of rebuilding the walls there at Jerusalem was prefatory to the blessings to come. It's just about 400 years before the Lord Jesus Christ would walk upon the earth. That city had been laid to waste, that had been laid in ruin. There were no walls, no protections. By building the wall and rebuilding that city, there would one day be a place that you and I would read of the Gospels in which the activities of our Lord and Savior would take place. We would begin to read of those wonderful events in his life which we can see and understand. Those things which we will consider even next week as we consider Resurrection Sunday. All of that blessing that came from those events really has its beginnings back with the work of God through Nehemiah to rebuild the walls. His work, which seems to be menial to some, was prefatory to greater blessings to follow. I think that's maybe one of the most important lessons that we can find in the early parts of our study of this book of Nehemiah. You know, we ought never despise those things, those activities, those actions which to us might seem to be menial, those things which just don't seem to be important. You and I don't ever know what the Lord will do through the simple things of this life to bring about His great blessings. Nehemiah simply rebuilt the walls. No concept or understanding of the greater blessings to come. You know, the Bible says that a cold cup of water given in the name of the Lord profits much and gives great blessing. Who would think that such a simple blessing could mean so much? The Lord Jesus would say to His disciples while upon the earth to be careful not to offend the little ones who come unto the Lord, but instead to suffer the little children to come unto Me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Those little things which seem so unimportant, God is able to use in a wonderful way. By the way, can I just make a point here when it comes to the little ones? I think it's important that we as a church and every member of this church have a burden for the little ones of our church. Sometimes it's easy to lose sight of the little ones when that's not the stage of life that we're in. Sometimes we can look at those of us who have the children, the little ones who are running around, you know, the ones who make all the noise, who you trip over in the foyer and all those things. Those little ones, sometimes we look at that and say, I'm so thankful that's not the stage of our life. And I have to admit, sometimes I look forward to that not being the stage of our life. But you know what? We ought to have a burden for those little ones. Because you and I never know what God has in store for them. You may be well beyond that in your stage of life. You may have never had that stage of life, but those little ones are precious in the eyes of God. And we ought to suffer them to come to the Lord. We ought to have a burden for them. We ought to strive to do all that we can to be a blessing and encouragement to them. Nehemiah had no understanding that the simple task of rebuilding a wall and governing a people was but prefatory to the greater blessings of the coming Messiah. God was going to use him in a wonderful way. As we come back to our study in the book of Nehemiah tonight, I want to begin to look at chapter 1 and begin to discover how we can truly live determined to do God's work. Again, that's the theme of our study of this book. Determined to do God's work. I want you to follow along as I begin reading again in verse 1. We'll read verse 1 down through verse 4 of Nehemiah chapter 1. And then we're going to bow and commit our study of this portion of God's word in prayer. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakalai. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing in our time tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come tonight and we're asking that as we begin to study the book of Nehemiah, as we begin to discover the truths which would help us to live a life determined to do Thy work, that You would teach us and instruct us from Thy word tonight. Lord, I pray that the things that we see will be practically applied to each and every life tonight. That we would be a people fit for Your use and vessels for Your honor and for Your glory. Father, we thank You and we praise You for all that can be done and all that can be accomplished. We commit it now unto You in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to the book of Nehemiah, Again, we understand that Nehemiah was a man who lived determined to do God's work. As we today seek to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that we must also determine that we're going to be willing to do what He calls us to do. We shared this morning the truth that there is a cause, there is a work that needs to be done. And you and I need to have a determination of heart and mind to do the work that God has called us to do. That work at times is hard, and that work can even be discouraging. That's why we need to be determined in our endeavors to do what God has called us to do. And Nehemiah is going to help us to learn how to be determined to do the work of God. A couple things I found this week and I thought are helpful for us as we begin to consider that thought of being determined to do God's work. Did you know that Walt Disney, in the early part of his career, was fired by a newspaper editor because of his lack of creative ideas? Think about that one. Walt Disney fired because he was not creative enough. That's an interesting thought. Thomas Edison performed 2,000 experiments and failed each time before he found the right filament for the first light bulb. Someone asked Mr. Edison what it was like to have failed so many times. Edison replied, "I've never failed once. Inventing the light bulb just happened to be a 2,000-step process." Jonas Salk, the man who developed the vaccine to eradicate polio, first made 200 unsuccessful attempts before successfully developing that vaccine. Another one of those encouraging reporters wanted to know how Mr. Salk could have handled the disappointing of failing 200 times. Jonas replied, "I have never failed 200 times in anything in my life. I simply found 200 ways not to make the vaccine for polio." Each of those men had a determination to do the work. They weren't going to allow the disappointments and the struggles to cause them to quit. A godly determination to complete the task of God is needed in our day, and in many ways, I think, is waning in our present generation. I'm on several different email lists for the ministry and ministry blogs, and I read one the other day that I think spoke to the problem in our generation today. The author was writing of the great American dream and the thoughts of the past. And the reality is there was a generation that believed in opportunity. There was a generation that believed the old story of rags to riches, that through hard work, through sweat, through effort, through determination, one can rise even from the lowest parts of society and do that which is great. All they were looking for was opportunity to do their work. He says, you know, we live in a day and age, though, where things have changed. And it's no longer about opportunity. Today, we are a people that believe or think about entitlement. We deserve to have everything that we want, and we deserve that it be given to us perfectly. No longer willing to be determined to work hard and do our best and to try our hardest. We simply want everyone to give unto us. We live in an age of entitlement. And I think if you look around in our generation today, you're going to find much of that thought of entitlement. We should receive what you have and others have because you have it, therefore I need to have it. We're entitled to the same lifestyle. I don't think that's true. By the way, I find a biblical word for that. It's called coveting. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, a man shouldn't eat. I think the Bible teaches us hard work and good work ethics and determination. And I think we need that sense of determination within the church today. No longer believing in this thought of entitlement, but we ought to be looking for opportunities to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. As we take that thought to mind as we come to the book of Nehemiah, I want to ask the question tonight, what gave Nehemiah this determination to do the work of the Lord? Because you're going to find in Nehemiah's life, he was a man determined. He was a man determined to do God's work. What gave him that determination to do the work God called him to? And the answer to that question is simply this. He cared. What gave Nehemiah that ability, that determination to do the work of God? When we come to chapter 1, we find in Nehemiah that there is one who cared. And I want to show you four things from this passage tonight about how he cared and how that relates to the work of the Lord. I want you to see first and foremost with me in the first three verses that Nehemiah was a man who cared enough to ask. He cared enough to ask. Look again at verses 2 and following. He says that while he was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of his brethren, came he and certain men of Judea. Notice the words. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. The first secret to Nehemiah's determination was that he was one who cared enough to ask. We come to understand who Nehemiah was through this first chapter. He was in Shushan the palace. Verse 11 tells us he was the king's cupbearer. He had his task, he had his responsibilities, he had his influence, he had his opportunities, he had his luxuries. He had a good life. Things were going well for him. This man, born in captivity, now had risen to the position of a cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. That was no little task. He was a man that was well trusted. He was a man that would have great influence over the king. He was able to be in his presence probably far greater than anyone else. He lived in the palace. He lived with all the luxuries and all the provisions. Yet in the course of his routine life, his brother Hanani would come home from Jerusalem. And we find that Nehemiah was one who asked. He cared enough to ask about the people, their plight, the city and its condition. He cared enough still about Jerusalem and still about God's people. He took the time to ask. I find that to be remarkable. In the midst of all the things that Nehemiah had, all the blessings that had been bestowed upon him, he still had a heart to know about the city of God and its people. And he cared enough to ask his brothers and those who had come back, tell me about the people. Tell me about the city. What's Jerusalem like? Understand, he's living 1,000 miles away. But he cared enough to ask. You know, some would take the motto in our day, what you don't know won't hurt you. You know why we take such a motto? Because with knowledge comes obligation. When I know something, I really now have to deal with, am I obligated to help? And so sometimes we take that mentality, I don't want to know. You ever find yourself feeling that way? I don't want to know. I don't want to ask. I'm afraid what I'm going to find out. But Nehemiah was a man who cared enough to ask. He cared enough to find out and to get involved. Sometimes we can walk into a room and we can see a brother or sister in Christ and it's obvious on their face they're hurting. Sometimes when we see that, you know what our response is? We treat them like a leper. I'm not going over there. Oh, here comes the sob story. I don't want to know. What I don't know won't hurt me. Wrong? point of view. Nehemiah was one who asked. And by the way, what he found out wasn't a pleasant report. There are three words in this passage that help us to see clearly what information he was given. Look at verse 3. "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Three words I want you to see tonight. Number one, it's the word remnant. They referred to the people of Jerusalem simply as a remnant, not the nation that is growing and vibrant. After 100 years of occupancy, they are still but a remnant of Israelites. They're just a remnant. There's also the word reproach. This is the city of God. These were the people who were once known and feared by all the other nations. Now they are in reproach and great affliction. That had to be hard to hear. And then we see through understanding what the words say is simply this: there's ruin. The walls of the city are broken down. The gates are burned with fire. Nehemiah was willing enough to ask, what's going on? How are the people? How is the city? There are remnant who are in reproach, and the city is ruined. That's not an easy report to hear. But I want to point out to you again, he cared enough to ask. I want to ask tonight you this question. If we want to do God's work, and I hope you do, do you care enough to ask? Ask at times those hard questions, which may bring answers that will be hard to deal with. Do you care enough to ask? You say, well, Pastor, what kind of questions should I ask? Are you willing to ask if there's work to be done? You say, Pastor, wait a minute, you warned us about that one last week. If we come and ask if there's work to do, you're going to put us to work, so we're not asking that question. Don't we care enough to know? Is there work to be done? Are there needs to be met? Are there people to be helped? Do we care enough to know? Are we willing enough to ask? See, if we want God's work to be accomplished, we need to ask. And you don't know what the answer is going to be, and sometimes that answer is going to be hard. But Nehemiah cared enough to ask. Tell me about the people. Tell me about the city. Are we willing to ask? Do we care at all? Look with me in verse 4. As we come to verse 4, we find another truth about Nehemiah, which fueled his determination to do the work of the Lord. Verse 4 said, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." When Nehemiah heard the condition of Jerusalem, the Bible says he wept. Not only was he willing to ask, but he cared enough to even weep. His heart was tender to the plight of the people and the problems of the city. He cared enough to weep. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, makes a very interesting observation, and I happen to agree with him. He said, "What makes people laugh or weep is often an indication of character. People who laugh at others' mistakes or misfortunes, or who weep over trivial personal disappointments, are lacking either in culture or character, and possibly both." Nehemiah was a man who cared enough to weep. Like other great men of the Bible, he associated with the burdens of other men. Remember what Paul would say to us in Romans chapter 12? We are to rejoice with those who do rejoice, and what? Weep with those who weep. We're supposed to associate with the needs of others. Again, the scripture tells us, bear ye one another's burdens. Nehemiah was a man who cared enough to weep. When you see the plight of the lost, the condition of those who are backslidden, when you see sorrow in other brothers and sisters in Christ, how do you respond? Nehemiah cared enough to weep. He associated with the needs of the people there in Jerusalem. He understood they're just a remnant who are in reproach and in great affliction. The city's in ruin. And when he heard those things, he sat down and he wept and he mourned. He associated with the needs of others. He cared enough to weep. If we're going to do God's work, we need to understand that ministry really is associating with the needs of others. And ministry always involves a risk. We've mentioned that before, but it's true. There's a risk to getting involved in the lives of other people. There's a risk of your heart breaking. There's the risk that you might need to sit and weep. Do you believe that the risk is worth taking? Or do we simply not care because it doesn't affect us? I'll go back to this morning. Do you really believe there's a cause? Is it worth getting involved in? Do we care enough to weep? Those determined to do God's work are going to care enough to ask. They will care enough to weep with those who are hurting. Nehemiah wept and mourned. He prayed. As we come to chapter 5, to verse 5 down through verse 10, we're going to find that Nehemiah's determination will also come from yet another source. And it really is found at the end of verse 4, and then it continues on. He prayed. Nehemiah was one who cared enough to pray. When he was confronted with a problem, a burden too hard for him to bear, his heart cared enough to pray. He cared enough to pray. That prayer would help him in his determination to do God's work. We find that when this problem was brought before him, his heart was made heavy. Not only would he weep, but he would pray. You know, in fact, this is the first mention of over 12 prayers that are recorded for us in this book of 13 chapters. 12 times it's going to be recorded for us that Nehemiah prayed to the God of heaven. This is the first. You can jot these down and look them up. But in chapter 2 and verse 4, we find Nehemiah praying when asked by the king what the king could do for him. Nehemiah had fasted and prayed for well nigh about 4 months. And on one day before the king, his countenance showed that there was a burden upon his heart. And the king asked of him what it is that he needed. And before he would respond, we find that Nehemiah prayed unto the Lord before he would ever respond to the king. In chapter 4 and verse 4, we find him in opposition from Tobiah and others. And again in chapter 4 and verse 9, when their opposition turned to anger, his response was to pray. We find that same response in chapter 5 and verse 19. Again in chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 14. If you come into chapter 9, beginning in verse 5 and following, again, we find him doing the very same thing. He would come to God and pray. And as this book would draw to a close in chapter 13, we're going to find Nehemiah praying in verse 14, in verse 22, in verse 29, and verse 31. Nehemiah was a man who cared enough to pray. From his life, we learn the importance of prayer. As you and I determine to do God's work in His way, we're going to need to, like Nehemiah, remember to pray. We ought to care enough to come before God and pray. know, over and over again in the scripture, we are encouraged to pray. We are told to pray without ceasing. In everything by prayer and thanksgiving. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We're to let our requests be made known unto God. We're to cast all of our care upon Him, for He cares for us. We are told that the reason we lack is simply that we don't ask. But if we would ask, we would receive. If we would ask, it would be given us. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, the doors are open unto us. Over and over again in the scripture, we are reminded of the importance to pray. And as we find Nehemiah right here in the beginning of this book, he was a man who cared enough to pray. He asked, he heard of the need, his heart was broken and he would weep, but he would go beyond. He would come before the Lord and do the very difficult work of prayer. By the way, when we find him here in chapter 1, he is in the month Chislu, November, December. And as we find him in chapter 2, we're going to find him now in another month. And that month would simply be around March or April, about 4 months had passed. And in those 4 months, he would pray and he would fast and he would bring this burden to the Lord. He was associating with the needs of others and he cared enough to pray. He realized that there was nothing in his own power, nothing in his own strength that he could accomplish, but there is one who is omnipotent. He is the God of heaven who can do all things, and he cared enough to pray. And he persisted in that prayer over and over again until the God of heaven would answer that prayer. He cared to pray. If we're going to accomplish God's work in His way, there has to be within us a heart willing to pray. And not just once or twice, but we maybe need to sit down and persist in prayer and agonize and struggle. Prayer is some of the hardest work that you and I can do this side of heaven. It is hard. Do we care, though, enough to really pray? When faced with a problem that's too hard to solve, a burden too large to carry, Nehemiah went to the Lord in prayer. What burdens are you carrying tonight? What struggles do you know of? What would you like to see the Lord do in your home, at work, in this church, in our country? As you think about those things, what are you doing about them? As Nehemiah saw the burdens, he was willing to pray. There's a need for God's people to care enough to pray. It is the God of heaven that is able to do all things. It is Him and Him alone that is able to accomplish the work. We can do nothing in our own strength, in our own power. We need the Lord. Nehemiah teaches us that prayer is the answer. As he prayed, his determination would grow. His God-given burden would increase, and God would show him how to do the work that he ordained for him. He cared enough to pray. Do you care about God's work and what is accomplished? Are you determined to see it through? If so, we got to be determined and caring enough to ask. We need to be willing to associate with the needs of others and weep if need be. And then we need to be willing to take that to the Lord and pray. There's one final thing that I find in Nehemiah chapter 1 about this man, Nehemiah. It's found in verse 11. Nehemiah writes and says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and unto the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name, And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. The final observation this evening is this: Nehemiah was willing to do something about what he knew. He was willing to volunteer. He cared enough to volunteer. I find it interesting how Nehemiah words his prayer. He asked that God would grant him mercy in the sight of this man. I find that interesting. Nehemiah knew to whom he was praying, and he knew to whom was able to help. Nehemiah didn't first seek the wisdom and counsel of Artaxerxes, the supreme ruler of all the world, the man at whose very word all edicts would be performed, whose word is stamped upon would be law to last for all generations. To him, he was but a man. But he asked that the God of heaven would prosper his way. You know what he's saying? Lord, I'm willing. You have put me in this place, and I'm praying, Lord, that you give me an opportunity, because there is one here upon the earth, if you will use him, that could help us to accomplish these things. Nehemiah understood he would need the edict of the king. In that day, that would be necessary. If the Jews were trying to simply rebuild the walls and rebuild that city without his command or without his help, he would come in with his military army and squash it as a rebellion. But with him giving his promise and his edict, no man would be able to stop them. But Nehemiah realized that he needed to come to God, but he was willing to be that vessel. Prosper my way. He was willing to volunteer. He cared enough to ask, and he cared enough to weep, which led him to be willing to pray, and then he was willing to be used and volunteer. He cared to volunteer. You know, it's one thing to pray about something. It's another thing to volunteer to help. Don't take that statement the wrong way. Prayer is an important part of all that we do. It's probably the most important thing that we do. But sometimes folks are quick to say, I'll pray about it, I'll pray about it, I'll pray about it. But yet they're not willing to get involved and help. They're not willing to do the work. It's been said that prayer is getting God's will done upon the earth, not man's will done in heaven. That's true. When we pray, we want the will of the Father accomplished here on earth. It's not about getting what we want done there in heaven. It's about having God's work accomplished here on the earth. However, I'm going to remind you that in order for God to get his will done on earth, man must be willing to be used as instruments of blessing. Matter of fact, I want you to hold your place there in Nehemiah. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, for a moment. Ephesians, chapter 3. The verse that we're going to reference tonight is one that we have referenced many times. And yet I have to admit to you tonight that as I considered these thoughts and as I did some reading and studying, one of the commentators made an observation that I had not yet really considered before. And really, it's just a matter of leaving off a couple words in a verse that we often consider. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 20. Paul says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." It's a wonderful verse. There's a wonderful promise. How God is able to do exceeding abundantly of all that we ask or think. I want you to read the last part of the verse. According to the power that worketh, say out loud with me the last two, in us. Do you see that? God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How does He accomplish that? By working in us. God's work is done in us and through us. He wants to accomplish His work through you and me. Nehemiah heard of the needs in Jerusalem. They broke his heart. He wept over them. He knew something needed to be done, so he talked with Him who could meet that need. Again, not the king, the supreme ruler of the world. He talked to God, the sovereign of all the earth. As he did these things, he knew someone. And that meant him needed to get involved. So we volunteered. You know, I said to you last week, and I really do believe it, I believe God burdens people's hearts about certain things because He wants them to meet the need. When God begins to lay a burden upon our heart, I really believe He wants us to get involved. Someone might ask me, Pastor, why is it that you have such a heart for young people? Is it just because you grew up in the church all your life and those kind of things? And my answer to you is not really. I really didn't care about those things for the longest time. But I remember in my freshman year of college, starting to see problems. You know what the problems were? Kids were going off to Bible colleges from Christian homes and Christian churches with Christian parents from Christian schools, completely unprepared for life. They weren't prepared academically. They weren't prepared socially. They weren't prepared to handle the problems of their finances. They weren't prepared spiritually to handle the things that were coming. And folks, I want to say to you, the college I went to was a greenhouse effect. It shouldn't be that hard. And for 6,000 students, it was. I had my struggles. I saw my friends. I saw the other freshmen. And I saw these people who just weren't ready for life. And I began to ask, why is that so? Why are there so many problems? We're coming from good churches. We're coming from Christian schools. We've been trained and prepared for this. We're coming to this greenhouse. Why is it so hard to do right? Why can't we be ready? And I remember in the course of those thoughts saying, Lord, who in the world is going to prepare these young people? Whoops, I asked. And He answered. And He said, you. I said, Lord, I think you misunderstood my question. I wasn't asking to get involved. I'm simply telling you there's a problem. And He told me, you're the reason I'm telling you. I want your involvement. Hey, folks, you know what needs to happen in the church? You don't need just to point out the problems. Pastor, did you know we have a problem? Yep. I need your involvement. God wants your involvement. That's why He burdened your heart. And He wants a volunteer. He already knows what the problem is. He's omniscient. He doesn't need you to tell Him the problem. He's not telling you something He just found out. He's burdening your heart because He wants you to get involved. And Nehemiah cared enough to get involved. He was willing to volunteer. Lord, prosper my ways. That was his prayer. That was his burden. Do you believe God has a great work that needs to be done in our generation? Do you believe that there's a cause right here where we live? Do you see the needs? Do you see the countless souls that are lost and heading to a Christless eternity? Do you see a province where there's not enough churches to reach the amount of people and not enough workers to do that work? Do you see a generation that needs to be taught and prepared? Do you understand the burden? Do you believe there's a great work that needs to be done? Is there a determination in your heart that we can do that work? The answer to that question will be found in this. Do you care enough to ask? Do you care enough to weep? Do you care enough to pray? Do you care enough to volunteer? Because of those things, Nehemiah would go to Jerusalem and in 52 days rally a people to build the walls and then stay for 12 years and govern that people and bring reform to that city so that it might be prepared for greater blessing. The Messiah to come, the Savior of all the world. Do we care enough about God's work? I ask that to me and I ask it to you. Do we care? Nehemiah cared enough to ask, to weep, to pray, and he was willing to get involved and volunteer. How about you? Folks, I do believe, and I think our deacons agree with me, there's great work that needs to be done. And I'll be honest, it looks to be, at times, to be a task insurmountable and impossible. And that's when I always run back to Mark chapter 10. With men it is impossible, but not with God. With God all things are possible. He can do all things, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Are you ready to do the work that God has for us? I hope so. And you and I are going to need some determination to do that work, because I want to tell you what's coming. Opposition's going to come. Sometimes it's going to come right from within. There's going to be negative Nelly, sarcastic Pete, who's just going to say everything about what we need to do. You're all wrong, and they're going to oppose what we want to do. I'm okay with that. There's going to be opposition from without. There's going to be struggles and problems, and we're going to wonder how we're going to handle these things. Our God knows the way. We need to come to Him in prayer, trust Him, and follow Him every step of the way. Folks, there's a great work that needs to be done. That's why we're studying the book of Nehemiah. He teaches us that there's a determination to do God's work. It comes as we care enough to ask. It comes as we care enough to weep. When we care enough to pray. And finally, we care enough to be a volunteer. Let's pray.